Tonight, I want you to look, verse 33 of this text. You'll notice here our Lord responds to the threatening words of Herod and the threatening words of the Pharisees by saying this, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out or outside of Jerusalem." Now, I want you to notice very briefly what it is that the Lord Jesus is saying here. In verse 31, he says that certain Pharisees had come to the Lord Jesus, and warned him to leave the region of Galilee to flee to the southern region of Judea. The reason, they said, was this danger of his being arrested and killed by King Herod. Well, the Lord Jesus, who knew the hearts of all men, responded to these Pharisees in two ways. One, by exposing Herod for what he was, and two, by exposing these Pharisees for who they were. Verse 32, "And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures. Today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected." In other words, our Lord knew that these Pharisees were actually in cahoots with Herod, and so he sends them back to him with this message, "Tell that fox, tell that crafty deceiver, my response to him." You see, folks, for political reasons, Herod Antipas did not want to kill the Lord Jesus in Galilee like he did John the Baptist. But he did want him out of Galilee, and the Pharisees did want him in Judea, where he would come under their jurisdiction and therefore under their indictment. That way, Herod is happy. Jesus is gone from Galilee, and the Pharisees are happy to execute him in Judea. Which brings us again to this text, because it's in this text that our Lord Jesus not only again exposes the fox and exposes the serpents, but he also makes a statement that is filled with spiritual truth. Verse 33, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." By the way, it's very important to understand tonight in this story and in this narrative a very simple statement that's made earlier in the chapter. What was it? Verse 22, "And he, Jesus, went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." In other words, note this carefully. Luke is making it very clear here that the Lord Jesus is on a journey. He is going somewhere. And that somewhere was toward Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He was traveling to the holy city. Why, by the way? For you and for me tonight. Not only that, it also says that as he went toward Jerusalem, he did so by going through. He's going toward. While he's going toward, he's going through certain villages and cities doing what? Teaching. Verse 22 again. "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." All right, so note this carefully, because here's the picture of a man. This is the God-man. Luke, of course, presents it as the Son of Man who's on a journey. He's not wandering, ladies and gentlemen. He's not existing. He's not running. He is walking in the will of God. Unfortunately, to some people in Israel, this journey was a great point of contention. In the first verse of this chapter, someone asked Christ about an atrocity that had been committed against the Galileans in that region. And the Lord Jesus, sort of embarrassing Herod, the ruler of Galilee, commented on that atrocity. Then, in verse 14 of this chapter, Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath day, angering the ruler of the synagogue. And in verse 15, really angering that ruler by calling him a hypocrite. And then, verse 17, look at it. "And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were shamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." By the way, that's a pretty good description of what the Christian journey is like for all of us. Listen to me. Some people are going to rejoice and be blessed by your life and living for God, and some people will be ashamed and thus angered by your life. Folks, just mark it down. Your godly life is not going to please everybody, not even all of your family. Verse 17 says, all of Jesus' adversaries. Now, wait a minute. You would think by listening to the pastor in Houston that there's no such thing as an adversary to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say he had adversaries? He actually had enemies, those that were against him? Of course he did. And it was he who said, "Beware when all men speak well of you." You see, folks, Jesus is on a journey. But that journey is not a popularity contest. And so it is that two of Jesus' adversaries, they get together. One's a political group, the other one's a religious group, and they decide that it's just time for this journey to come to an end. They decide it's time to force Christ into leaving Galilee before his time and go to Judea. So, look at verse 31. The same day, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, "Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." Now again, folks, listen, the Pharisees aren't trying to protect our Lord. They're trying to manipulate him. That's why Jesus says in verse 32, "Go you and go ye and tell that fox." In other words, go back to where you came from, because I know that this message is a conspiracy. And then our Lord makes this marvelous statement that none of his adversaries could have contemplated and comprehended. Verse 33 again. "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." You know, the first thing we'll notice about this statement, not in our points, but I just want you to take note of, is the fact that Jesus is not talking here about 3 literal days. He's not saying in 3 days I'm going to die or I'm going to be arrested or anything else like that, because we know the chronology of his life. What he's saying is clarified in the previous verse, verse 32. He said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." That word perfected means completed. It means finished. So watch this carefully. When Jesus says, "I shall be perfected," he's referring to the end of his earthly journey. Hebrews 2:10 says that Jesus was made, quote, "perfect through suffering." Not just any suffering, because the verse before that says it was the suffering of death. So you see, the third day in verse 32 refers to the end of his journey when on the cross he says what? "It is finished," as the fellow sang a moment ago. "Perfected." It is completed. And when Herod and the Pharisees and all the powers that be came to Christ and threatened to keep him from finishing that journey, his answer was this: "I must walk." Now, beloved, I want you to hear this carefully tonight, because the fact that our Lord's adversaries would not have understood, they wouldn't have had a clue as to the depth of that great statement, doesn't really mean a whole lot, because the truth is that statement was recorded right here in the Word of God, not so much for them, but for you and I who are gathered here tonight. Why? Because what Jesus said in this text is spiritual truth. And specifically, it is spiritual truth that God's people cannot afford to neglect or overlook in their hearts, for example. 3 things in Jesus' statement you'll notice: truths about the life of Christ, also true about the life of Christ's own, God's people, the Christians. The first thing you'll notice, number one, is the day of faithfulness, of fruitfulness, the fruitful day. Look at verse 32. He said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Verse 33. "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following." In other words, now follow this carefully. We're talking about opportunity. When Jesus says in this text today, he literally meant, you understand, that day. Verse 31 says what? That same day. What day, Pastor? The very day that he had just journeyed through a city or a village and taught a parable of the leaven. That day, which is called today. That was the immediate day of opportunity on Jesus' great journey. And so Jesus says, "You tell Herod that I have work to do." He wants me to leave. "You tell the fox this: I have work to do today. There are devils to cast out. There are sick people to cure. There is fruit to be born. And if he wants me out of Galilee, it's not going to happen today. Because today I must walk. I must do what my Father has willed for me to do today." It is a reminder tonight, beloved, that we have today. You had today. Today in this text speaks of God's will. It speaks of your opportunity to fulfill the will of God in your life. And I'm glad tonight that you're in church. I'm glad that today you are in church. And thank God that today you had an opportunity to do God's will, and for the most part, obviously, you've done it to some degree today. And the truth is, the day's not yet over, is it? Because look, well, who knows what person God wants you to help, to teach, to encourage today? You have an opportunity still today to read something that edifies your soul, to pray, to sing, to serve, and to give. Today, you have an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to worship. Someone said yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you have. So spend it. And spend it wisely. I've been reading through 1 Timothy. And I came to a statement I thank God for. It's a little statement in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says this: the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, I read that and I thought, I wonder if some Christians don't even realize that the word enjoy is in the Bible. God has given them richly all things. God has given you tonight richly all things. But so many Christians don't enjoy those things. Look at verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think our Lord Jesus enjoyed doing that on that day and fulfilling the will of God? Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Do you think the Lord Jesus enjoyed releasing that woman? In chapter 14 and verse 1, we read these words. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him, verse 2, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy, and Jesus answering spake unto lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and lo, he took him and healed him and let him go. Do you think the Lord Jesus enjoyed fulfilling the will of God that day? Beloved, today is an opportunity for you to be thankful, for you to rejoice, for you to walk in the will of God. Be fruitful today. Don't wait. Because you don't have to wait. I saw a bumper sticker some years ago that said, procrastinators unite, ... tomorrow. It's today. That is your day of opportunity, and specifically the opportunity to fulfill the will of God. But notice something. Look at verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. Jesus said, today I have sick people to heal and sinful people to deliver and demons to cast out. That's what I'm supposed to do today. And you know what he says then to Herod? He says, and tomorrow I'm supposed to do the exact same thing. In other words, today people have needs and they have burdens and they have sins and heartaches. And I have the opportunity today to teach and help and to encourage those same people. And tomorrow, well, tomorrow will be more of the same glorious work of God. Same opportunity, same needs for fruit, same journey. So that what Christ illustrates to us, beloved, is that today is a fruitful day. Tomorrow will be the faithful day. Tomorrow, in other words, is a reminder that God didn't put you on a one-day, 100-yard dash. Rather, he put us and you and I in a marathon. Verse 22 says that Jesus, here's the word, journeyed toward Jerusalem. And beloved, until we get this concept and this reality and this truth in our hearts and lives as God's people, we will never be around for the whole journey. Pastor, when are the burdens and the trials and the disappointments and the sins of this life, when are they going to be over? When will justice reign and we will rest our weary souls? I don't know, but I can tell you this, for almost everybody under the sound of my voice right now, it probably won't be tomorrow. Jesus said, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow. He said, I must walk today and tomorrow. And yes, again, that is true for all of us. And that's why Jesus said, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. You say, but faith, Pastor, I'm so weary and I'm tired. More tired than our Lord was. And remember, where was he going? Can you imagine how anxious Jesus was to return to heaven? Remember those times in the Bible, in the Gospels, when you read the Bible, says he did something and the people had no faith and he sighed deep within himself. That is a powerful scene because the Lord Jesus had come from the glories of heaven. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? At one point, Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And the answer was, until tomorrow. And he knew it. And when tomorrow came, and tomorrow was today, there was another tomorrow. You know, a lot of times, after counseling with someone, the very last thing I'll say to them, I would guess half the people in this room have heard me say it to you, either in counseling or somewhere, when you've told me something in your life, I'll say to them, hang in there. In fact, it's one of my favorite statements, and I know to someone who's carrying a very heavy load, it might seem to them to be awfully glib. But it's not to me. I think one of the secrets of the victorious Christian life is realizing that today and tomorrow, getting it in your heart and in your head, today and tomorrow, we must walk. And sometimes we just need to hang in there. In fact, if I had a Christian call me up and say, Pastor, I've been falsely accused of a crime, and tomorrow I'm going to the gallows. You know what I'd say? Hang in there. Amen? I know, that's sad. Verse 32. Let's just go back to the Bible. Verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Verse 33, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. Now, wait a minute. Please don't miss this. Today speaks of our opportunity, fruitfulness. Tomorrow speaks of our faithfulness. The third day speaks of a final day. It speaks of completion, so that, you know what? The Lord Jesus is reminding us that our journey, just like his journey, is leading somewhere. That in fact, there is a finish line to this race. There is a completion to God's plan. And that completion comes and only comes when God is finished with you and your task is done. And one of the things that Jesus is saying to Herod is that not even he, with all of his power, not even he can cut off or cut short the will of God. He thought and he thinks that he cut short the will of God for John the Baptist, but even then he didn't. And so Jesus says, tell him. You know, Thomas Fuller wrote a book years ago about the history of Britain. And after observing the lives of God's servants, he made this conclusion. It's the one great thing I took from the book. He said, quote, God's children are immortal while their father has anything for them to do on earth. You see, as long as Jesus had something to do in God's plan, Herod and those Pharisees were powerless against him. And folks, that fact is obviously true for you as a Christian. And that means this. A, nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. And B, this journey that we are on will one day lead us home. And if you're here tonight, and you too have adversaries as our Lord Jesus did, and you have obstacles and there are trials and there are discouraging circumstances, then I say to you again, you hang in there. Don't throw in the towel. Today and tomorrow and the day following, you must walk. Jack Kemp was a longtime congressman from New York. He was then the housing secretary. And then he was the vice presidential nominee, some of you may remember. And then before that, he played football. He played briefly in the NFL when the teams continued to lose. He was traded off to the Canadian Football League. And then in 1965 for the Buffalo Bills, he earned the AFL MVP. And finally, at that time, saw some success. But long before that success, He was a loser, a lot of years of struggles and disappointments as a quarterback. A reporter asked him one time, after a very tough loss after the game, in the interview, he said, "Why don't you just throw in the towel?" And he said, "If I ever did throw in the towel, it would probably just get intercepted." You know, sometimes life is exactly like that. But that's okay. Because you as a Christian are in very good company. When it comes to struggles and obstacles and adversaries, and even two people that hate each other joining together just because they hate you more, it's okay because you're in good company when the journey gets tough and when today is challenging. So hang in there. Today, Jesus said, I must walk. And tomorrow, and the third day, I will be perfected. Yesterday was D-Day in our men's prayer meeting. Brother Stan mentioned D-Day. And of course, he fought in the Battle of the Bulge, 90-something years old. We have other men who fought. Brother Jack was at D-Day. And I've been reading a couple books late May and early June about D-Day, and it's fascinating to me to read about that day and all the buildup and the money and the time and the anticipation. One of the things that I've been struck with is the testimonies of those men who survived D-Day. They said that day was full of fear and terror, and it just whizzed by. But they said the real trials and struggles, if you live through it, and the heartaches, began the very next day. Because the fear and the fatigue and the deprivation continued day after day after day after day. But they went forward. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. And tonight, the reason we have freedom and we are speaking English for the most part is because somebody didn't give up. Greater than that, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus was journeying toward Jerusalem. He knew what was happening on that third day. He knew where he was going and what he would endure if he continued today and tomorrow and the third day. Surely we can. Father, bless now the invitation. We commit it to your hands. Thank you tonight for your word, and thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who every today and every tomorrow just kept on, was faithful, was fruitful until he was finished. May we be the same. Bless these who have asked for prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.